All right, we're in the book of Acts, chapter 13. Let's begin with it. Let's ask those people that are listening to us if you have any questions. Is everything okay, Pastor Dan, as far as the
video? I guess so, yeah.
Good.
Tell us if they're...
Please tell us if everything's working out all right. If you would, please call us at 856-261-9018. Or give us an email.
We talked to two people
about it that's going through. What's stopping for a while? Call us at questions@bftbc.org and tell us if it's coming through clear. And tell Pastor Dan about it. He fixed it up so it'd be all right. All right, let's begin. We're in Acts chapter 13. Last Thursday, we stopped at verse 39. But I'd like to pick up, just for background, let's read 38, 39, and 40. Acts 13, beginning with verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things for which he could not be justified for the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. All right, verse 38, be it known unto you, who was Paul speaking to here in this chapter? Where was he meeting?
The city,
and what location was it?
In the synagogue,
all right. And primarily, who was there?
The Jews.
Now, did all the Jews receive this message? You see, later on in the chapter, they were not all
Jews. Some did. Some did.
But
what city did you say we were in?
Antioch.
Pisidia.
And so, he said, be unto you, therefore, men and brethren, talking about the Jews here, through this man, what man is he talking about? Pastor Dan.
Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ has preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. What is forgiveness? What does that mean?
Carrying away
of our sins. How is that accomplished? Does everyone get forgiveness just because the Lord Jesus took the sins of the world upon himself? Does that give forgiveness to everybody? You must accept him, receive him as your Savior. Otherwise, you can't accept. What is it?
You paid the price.
You paid the price for your sins. It's not a question of what you do for yourself, but was your fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, have you accepted him, received him, believed on him, very important. And so, but through him, forgiveness of sins is possible just for the elect.
For all who accept him.
It's possible for him. He died for the sins of the whole world. And those people that are hyper-Calvinists, of course, they very much disagree with that. And they get very angry when we say and preach the word that Christ died for the sins of the whole world. Yeah. Dave.
John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power, authority, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
For them, all of them. Very good. So John 1:10, 11, 12. That's right, them that believe on his name. So, as it says in that verse, through this man's preaching to forgive us. Now look at verse 39. By him again speaks of what person?
Lord
Jesus Christ, yeah. Notice how many people are justified from all things. In verse 3, all that believe, see. Not just that there's a small group of elect, but all that, but the belief. What does it mean to believe? Now, that's an important word. All that believe.
Trust.
This is the head.
Rely upon.
Heart belief, strong, real, genuine faith and belief. And that's the way we get eternal life, isn't it? According to John 3:16, I'll say that one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Genuine faith gives us everlasting life. Questions at bftbc.org, 856-261-9018. Give us a call or a comment, question. Glad to hear from you. Just say hello if you wish. And then that's in verse... Justified. Well, what does justified mean? That's a theological term, isn't it? What does
to
it mean?
Declare righteous.
To declare righteous. Who declares people righteous?
God does.
God himself. Does that mean that as soon as we are declared righteous, we're righteous right here? 100%? Does it mean we're righteous?
It's a positional.
It's positional righteous.
It's a positional.
Righteous before God. In the books of heaven, when we trust the Lord Jesus and we're forgiven of sins by genuine faith in him, he declares us absolutely righteous in his books. Now, because he's righteous declared, We want to try to strive for the righteousness while we're living below. Try to strive. Righteousness is righteousness we're already declared on the books of heaven, positionally as righteous. So justification, absolutely, God's declaring someone just and perfect and righteous because they trusted the Lord Jesus as their Savior and Redeemer. From all things, justified from all things. Now, what does the last part of verse 39 mean?
We can't be justified by the law.
Oh, I can't be justified by the law, Moses. Why not?
It was added to show us our need
for
salvation.
Show us our need, Pastor Dan.
In Galatians, it talks about it being a schoolmaster.
All right.
A schoolmaster to show us,
to teach us to
bring us to the idea like Tammy was saying, we can't live up to it.
Leave us unto Christ and bring us to Christ, a schoolmaster.
Galatians,
that's right. Now, did the law say we're saved by faith? What did the law of Moses teach?
Keeping the entire law.
It's by works, isn't it? And Christianity, Christ, is by genuine faith.
At one point, they were guilty of all.
One point, they're guilty of all. Yes, Tammy.
Greetings to all our BMT family and friends. Thank you for tonight's Bible study. The streaming is coming through loud and clear. In Christ, Gloria and Dan Angie.
Good. Gloria and Danny. Thank you. Gloria and Dan. Gloria and Dan.
Gloria.
Yes. Appreciate that. Anybody else? I'm glad it's coming through. Pastor Dan, fix it up. He's a good fixer-upper on all these details. Without him, we could do practically nothing around here as far as the internet is concerned. Thank you, Gloria and Dan. So, all they could justify the law of Moses. Then in verse number 40, what does this word mean, that first word, beware?
Be careful.
Be warned.
Be warned. Who's he speaking to now?
The Jews.
The Jews.
What's that?
They're speaking to the Jews. In the synagogue, so he's these Jews, and they didn't all accept what he was believing, but he's warning them. What is he warning them about? Lest they come at which is spoken in the prophets. What did the Old Testament say about unbelieving Jews if they didn't accept what God wanted them to do?
They'd know the judgment of God.
They'd know the judgment of God. Ken?
I was just concerned they're going to be judged.
They're going to be judged, absolutely. And so he's saying beware. Now, see, these Jews that were listening up to this point, remember he told in the first part of chapter 13 how the Lord Jesus was crucified, and then he was raised again from the dead, and he's resurrected, he's up in the throne of God, and through this man is preached the forgiveness of sins. But those Jews didn't always receive this, so beware. He warned them. Let's read then verse number 41, 42, and 43 together. Behold, he despises and wonders and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And when the Jews were brought out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. All right, the verse number 41. What does he call some of these Jews that did not believe the
Christ? Despise.
What does it mean to be a despiser? What does that mean? He hates something to do against the pastor. And wonder and perish. What does that imply?
Wonder.
He wonder and then perish.
They're going to go
to hell if they don't accept this Savior. He died for the forgiveness of sins, that they who believe have to be justified in all things. But if they don't accept this Savior, they're going to be perished, wandered, and perished. That's serious, isn't it?
Sure is.
But do all people in this world today, and all preachers even, believe that there is a hell that people will perish in if they reject Christ? Is everybody believe that?
I don't
believe that at all. But it's in the Scripture, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The Bible's heaven is clear. The Bible's hell is clear. And there are two different destinations. And one is accepting, receiving the Lord Jesus as Savior. The other is rejecting Him. And then there's no other place but the lake of fire. For whom was the lake of fire prepared?
The
devil and his angels. It wasn't prepared for people. But people reject the Savior, that's where they'll have to go. So, and perish. I work a work in your days, which you in no wise believe, though a man declare unto you. What work do you think is going to be worked out in their days?
Salvation.
Probably salvation. Many are going to be saved, even though they don't believe in it. Many will be saved by trusting Lord Jesus as Savior and Redeemer, though man declare it unto you. And then in verse number 42, what happened to the Jews then after he made those warnings?
They left.
They left. They went out of the synagogue. Who came in?
The Gentiles.
What did the Gentiles want?
They wanted to hear the same sermon the next week.
The same sermon the next Sabbath. Isn't that interesting? Why did the Jews reject and the Gentiles want more? What do you suppose?
They have a hardened heart.
They had a hardened heart, and these Gentiles, they want to know about salvation. It's wonderful, isn't it? Heaven
is that. They want to know about salvation.
Well, yeah, they want to know about salvation. It's wonderful. So they had that open heart.
It was all new to the Gentiles.
New to them. Yeah, Jacob from Texas. Go ahead, Jacob Bromer.
Yes, sir, Pastor Wade. Here in, on that one, here in Habakkuk, I read 5 and 6. You still get that, right?
Yeah, go ahead, huh?
Okay, I heard the phone ring on the internet on the other room, but I guess it was a delay. Behold thee among the heathen, and regard and work earnestly, for I will work a work in your days, which you will not believe that he told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not hid theirs. So, a type of the day of the Lord, into the future. Well, you know what this chapter is all about. So, so many times, like in Isaiah 13, when it's talking about Babylon, but all of a sudden it's talking about that day. I just wanted to point that out. There.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you, Jacob. It's way to Jacob in Texas. Jacob from Texas. Yes. What he's saying is, beware, because the Chaldeans are coming. Of course, why did the Chaldeans come to the northern tribes, 10 tribes? Why did they come after them? And what happened to the Chaldeans?
Because the Lord allowed it.
Surely. Assyria, first of all, and the Chaldeans went after the southern two tribes. Yes. The two tribes in the south, why did they come after them?
God allowed it for judgment.
Now, the Assyrians, they took how many tribes away into captivity? The Assyrians. The northern ten tribes. And then did they want to take also the Judah, two tribes in the south? They came, they tried, they didn't make it. God protected them, for God for that. But then later on, what did Hezekiah show the Babylonians? They came into Babylon in captivity, right?
To the southern tribes.
What did he show the king of Babylon? I got the right person. Show him all the gold and the silver and everything else. And that was the wrong thing to do.
Earlier,
that's right. And so they came down and took away all that, but earlier he showed them all this thing. So that's probably, as Jacob said, this fulfillment of the people coming down to take over the Jews, put them into captivity, and Habakkuk, the work of work in their days. All right, so they went out to say, Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next time. So they were willing and eager. Is everyone in this country wanting to hear the words of God?
Not now.
There are very few that really want to hear the words of God. A lot of them don't believe. And but these Gentiles did. Did we read 43?
Yes.
Okay, that's right. But in 43, what happened to the some of the Jews and religious proselytes?
Some of them followed Paul and Barnabas.
In other words, there were some Jews that accepted and received the Lord Jesus, followed what he said. Others who didn't want to.
They wanted to hear more.
They came to hear the word of God. That's wonderful, isn't it? Now,
Many of the Jews. Which is good.
It's very good. Came together the next Sabbath day to hear
the proselytes.
During the proselytes, many. So there was a good group of people. Some didn't believe, but others did believe. And Paul, I'm sure, was very encouraged by that. The Gentiles want to hear the word of God. These Jews want to hear the word of God. Again, the whole city. Notice, we didn't read 44 yet. But notice, in verse 43, what did Paul and Barnabas speak to them concerning? What was this topic?
The grace of God.
The grace of God, and what else?
Persuaded
them to do what?
Continue
the grace. In other words, not just to have a general faith in Christ, but continue in God's grace, studying His Word, and they wanted to hear the Word of God. Is the Word of God spoken clearly and taught clearly in every church in our land?
No way.
No, it's not. It's very, very sad, isn't it? It's not clearly taught. In fact, a lot of it's disbelieved and just not just going around. A lot of times it's just simply politics or some other illustration or something else. But the next Sabbath, they besought. What does besought mean in verse 42? 42, we didn't pick that up. Besought. What's that? What's that mean?
Pleaded.
Yeah, pleaded with them. They urged them, these words be preached. And so the Jews were exhorted to teach and continue the praise of God. And then the verse, let's read, did we read 34 yet?
No, we haven't read 44.
Oh, that's right, 44, 45, 46 together. And the next Sabbath day came almost all the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first be spoken unto you, but seeing that you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, return to the Gentiles. Right, verse 44, what happened the next Saturday?
Almost the whole city.
Almost the whole city. Why'd they come?
To the word of God.
Isn't that something? Desire to hear the word of God. You know, with so much internet and so much radio and television and movies and everything else the world looks at, and games and football and all, they don't add interest in the word of God. But that should be an interest. These people came for that purpose, to hear the word of God. That's an interesting, good motive for a come, to hear. Now, did Paul know anything about the word of God?
Yes.
Who taught Paul?
Jesus.
The Lord Jesus Christ, how long did he teach him?
3 years.
3 years. Where did he teach him?
In the desert.
That's right. And did he teach, how long did he teach the disciples? The apostles?
3 years.
3 years. So about the same teaching. But he taught him many, many things, even that he didn't teach the apostles. Remember, he said, I have many things to say unto you, but you can't bear them now. Remember? But when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you in all truth. He'll not speak to himself. So here that's what he speaks. He'll show you things to come. He'll receive of mine, Lord Jesus, and show it unto you. And so Paul was the recipient after the Lord Jesus went back to heaven and to hear the word of God. Then in verse 45, what was the reaction of the Jews?
They were envious.
Just think, you'd think the Jews right in the synagogue, all the whole city to hear the word of God. They said, oh, wonderful. Were these Jews interested in hearing the word of God?
That's what happened to Jesus, because they, the Sadducees and everybody were so filled with hate and envy, that they had him put to death.
Yes.
And it's the same thing, exactly,
same thing,
their hearts are hard. Bible says their hearts are hard and were hard.
Yes.
And they were so filled with envy and hate.
Yeah. Now notice, that's when they saw the multitudes. Why do you suppose that made them angry?
They were jealous.
Yeah, that's
it. It indicated there were a lot of people that were interested in what they had to say. They were interested in the truth. Mm-hmm. They were interested in the falsehood of the Sanhedrin. Mm-hmm. They were interested in the truth that Paul and Barnabas said.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Yes. Yes. Hello. Hello. Yes, go ahead.
Hi, a little delay here. I got the book of Hebrews in this week, and it's excellent.
Oh, good, James Canada, you got the book. Wonderful, praise the Lord. I'm glad it came.
I recommend your books on your website. I was preaching to every. I have Romans, I have Revelation, I have all the ones you have so far, and I got the Hebrews. I can't put the thing down. It's just so.
Thank you, Pastor Wade. You read, it's just line upon line teaching and preaching. You get so built up and said reading that book. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you. Thank you for the man of God you are. Thank you, Danny. Thank you for helping your father-in-law with the book. You did a good job. Mrs. Wade did a good job with the boxes, and they all helped out. Praise the Lord. Well, thanks, Jim. Well, let's wave to Jim and thank Shiloh, Massachusetts. James Canada. Appreciate that. Praise the Lord. He's got his book of Hebrews, and he's got 24 more coming, so other people have ordered, have got a couple more, so keep it going. So we're in verse 44. They came, the whole city, to hear the word of God. Jews saw the multitudes. They could not stand the multitudes. What were the multitudes wanting?
They were wanting the truth.
They wanted the truth.
They wanted the truth about the Lord Jesus, and that's not what they were giving.
That's not what the Jews were giving. That's not what the Jews wanted. Paul gave it to them. And what was their attitude in verse 44?
Whose attitude?
The Jews.
In 8:45?
I'm thinking of 45, I'm sorry. Yes, 45, I'm sorry.
They're filled with envy.
Filled with envy.
They wanted to be like them.
They were jealous.
They're jealous. What does envy mean?
Jealous.
Jealousy, you want something that they were envious. They wanted the people, if the multitude had come to the synagogue to hear the Jews rabbis, that would be wonderful. But when this Paul was here, they came to hear him. That was out of bounds. They were envious. And so what did they do after that was their attitude in verse 45?
They spoke against them.
They spoke against Paul. In two ways. What were the two ways they spoke against
him? Contradicting.
And blasphemy. What does it mean to contradict?
They must contradict while he was preaching.
Oh, maybe so.
They were saying that, no, that's not right. This
yes.
is right.
They may be already interrupted the process.
I think so.
Isn't it a shame when people just absolutely hear the word of God and hear the word of God, and they're so filled with unbelief,
yes.
and hardness of heart, that yes. they just will not believe, no matter how much truth they have.
Right.
Isn't that a shame?
It's a shame. Yes. It certainly is a shame. So first of all, contradicting. That's not right. It's not right. And what's the second thing they did?
Blaspheme.
What does that mean? Blasphemy.
Swearing.
Oh, swearing and taking God's name in vain and saying it's not right and blasphemy. Terrible.
I thought they weren't supposed to take the name of God.
Not supposed to. Jews are not supposed to. But in other words, contradicting and saying something is not right and wrong.
It says down here in the footnote, reviling.
Reviling, yes, reviling.
So you're speaking really...
Speaking against, I think that...
Violently against what they were
saying. That comes from two Greek words, blas is against and fame is to speak against. See, speak against. Of course, many times it means swearing against God, but some are just speaking and contradicting and speaking against what they've been saying. So contradicting and blasphemy. And then we read 46, did we not? We read 46?
Yes.
Okay. Then... what was true of the attitude that Paul and Barnabas had here in this verse? What was there?
They grew bold.
Bold. Waxed bold. What does that imply?
He wasn't afraid of anybody.
Wasn't afraid
he was
going to
give the word out.
Yeah.
The stronger the battle, the heat, the
yes.
more that they... the more bold they were.
Yes. And sometimes when there's so contradiction and everything, they have to strongly bold, almost speak it right out strong and not mince words.
That's what we need.
Yes, strong preaching. This is the Word of God. And they've got to be confident. Was Paul confident in the Word of God that he was preaching?
Yes.
Yes, he was. So confident he was persecuted, all kinds of persecution. Wasn't he? He just kept preaching. And he didn't say, what the Lord wants me to do, I will do. But Paul and Barnabas, on this missionary journey, waxed bold. And what did they say about it? What was necessary? What was necessary?
That the word of God should first have been spoken to you.
Meaning who? Who's he referred to?
The Jews.
The Jews first. Remember, it says to the Jew first and also
the Greek.
That's right. But what was the last part of verse 46 mean?
That they rejected it.
Yes.
Put it away from them.
Yes. So what did they judge themselves to be?
Unworthy
of everlasting life. Now, you mean if the gift or the offer was made, trust the Lord Jesus, receive Him by faith and genuine faith, you'll have everlasting life. That's a wonderful offer.
Mm-hmm.
And if you say you judge yourself to be unworthy, we don't want it. Huh?
He came unto his own, and his own
yes.
received Him not. But as many as received Him, then...
Fire to begin the sons of God. Those that believe in His name, that's right. But they're unworthy of everlasting life. So what was Paul's conclusion, Paul and Barnabas said?
We're going to the Gentiles.
That's right, we turn to the Gentiles. Did Paul really try to go to the Jews?
Yes.
He tried. Here he was in the synagogue.
He always started the synagogues.
That's right, started in the synagogues. That's where they met.
He loved the Jews. They were his people.
Yes, they were his people. A lot of people teach that Paul never went to the Jews. Just to remember, some people thought only Peter went to the Jews. But he went to the Jews first.
Mm.
But now since they rejected him, it's changed. Yes, Tammy.
Even at the end of his life, he went back for some feast because he wanted to win his
brethren. Yes, he did. Yes, that's right.
He went back to Jerusalem.
Yes, yeah, Bill.
Wasn't the book of Hebrews written for the Hebrews?
Yes, it was. Written for the Hebrews, absolutely. For the Jews.
Romans 9, 10, and 11 said that he loved the Jews and he wanted them to accept the Lord.
That's right. He would have made himself even die if he could save his people. That's what he said. I wish myself accursed. But the Jews, his people, wouldn't come up. So we went to turn to the Gentiles. All right, did we stop at that verse and then we go on to the next one?
Yes, so let's go
47, 48, 49 together. For so has the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldst be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the regions. Verse 47, so has the Lord commanded us. What did he command them in this verse number 47?
To go to the Gentiles.
All right, to
preach the
light, set thee to be a light. In fact, when Paul was converted in chapter 9 of Acts and 27, 26, all these other places, he mentions that the Lord told him to go to the Gentiles and teach them the things of the Lord, and him to be a light unto the Gentiles. That means that they needed a little bit of light because they were in darkness, doesn't it? That thou shouldst be for salvation to the ends of the earth. In other words, to give salvation. What does it mean to the ends of the earth?
Everywhere.
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 All over the world.
That's right. What is the so-called Great Commission say?
Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Every creature. That's the Great Commission in the end of Matthew, different places. And so the gospel is for every creature. Now, if we're to go in everywhere, that means missionaries sent. And now with this internet, with the videos, and so we can go that way, but it's the going. But if a person is a hyper-Calvinist, let's say, and believes that only the ones that God specially chosen can be saved, what does that do for their missionary emphasis?
It limits it.
Limits it. They say, well, if God's going to pick them out, why bother to go? Just, Lord, you know who's going to be.
And that happens, too.
It happens. It certainly does.
It squelches the missionary emphasis of the church.
And you were a missionary in New Mexico, right?
Yes.
For how long, Dave?
Spanish people.
Spanish people.
For about 14 years.
About 14 years. Different places, Spanish people. But this would cross the mission. But he says, go to all the ends of the earth. And then in verse number 48, what was the reaction of the Gentiles when they heard this?
They were glad.
They were glad. Isn't that wonderful to be glad when you hear the truth of the Word of God? Great gladness.
Mm-hmm.
They were glad. And what else did they do in verse 48?
Glorified the Word.
Glorified the Word of the Lord. What does it mean to glorify the Word of the Lord?
Magnify.
All right, and emphasize and encourage. Yeah. Encourage by questions at bftbc.org, 856-261, 9018. Give us a call or comment. Glad to hear from you. Questions or comments, just say hello. They glorified the word of the Lord. They said, is the word of the Lord prevalent today? Do we have the word of the Lord today?
Yes, we do. Yes,
we do. We have the original Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek that God promised to preserve.
Copies
of them. And we also have translations that are accurate. In the English language, for example, are all the translations in the English language accurate?
No.
Do they all come from the proper Hebrew, Aramaic, Greek word?
No.
No, they don't. In fact, this one here, the King James Bible, it does come from the proper ones. The New King James comes from some of the proper ones, but the wrong translation technique, so we can't even go with the New King James. But all the rest of them, the modern versions, they use the wrong Hebrew, they use the wrong Greek, and the wrong technique of translation. It's a sad thing. And so people don't have all the word of the Lord, do they? How many differences, for instance, in the New Testament are there between the text that underlies the King James Bible and the critical Greek text, Gnostic text, that underlies the modern verse? How many differences? 8,000 differences. We had a man whose pastor is from Delaware, and the man asked me to look and listen to the pastor's messages. He's going to have four messages on the scripture. The man is a graduate of Bob Jones University. You know they believe in the critical text and Gnostic critical Greek text. And he said, would you listen to it? I did. I listened to the first one, the second one, the third one. You got one more to go. A listener took notes and I gave them to this man, who's one of the members of this other church. But they're completely upset with this pastor. He's been there 12 years or 13 years, something like that. Pardon me?
That new pastor?
Oh, yes. Oh, he's been there 10, 12 years. Absolutely.
I thought he was here trying to get a new pastor.
No, I don't mean the man was there. No, the pastor that came has been there 10 or 12 years. Yes, he has. And, of course, he started. Of course, the doctrinal statement of the church is very, very, very clear. We're going to stand for the Hebrew that underlies the King James Bible, the Aramaic and the Greek, and the King James Bible.
I thought they got a new pastor.
No. They did get a new pastor. When they split, this particular church split from another church that didn't go with the King James Bible. They started their own church. They made their own constitution. And then they called this man. And they number one, two things they wanted. They didn't want a young man. They wanted no mature man. And number two, they wanted a man that stood strong for the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words of the King James Bible. They got a young man and one that didn't stand for the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek.
And they've had it for 10 years.
They had a mess for 10 or 12 years, yes. And he's got a lot of people on his side. And so this band here and many others, the original people, really wanted to go. They don't know what to do. In fact, they've asked me, would I come sometime, maybe, to have a meeting and explain. But some of the things that this man is telling, he says, there's not very little difference between the Gnostic critical Greek text, that underlies the modern versions, and the King James Bible. Less than 2%. Why, it's 99% difference. And then he says, the difference is between these texts, the false text and the true text, they would occupy one page of your Bible. One page. This is the nonsense they've been taught at Bob Jones University. That's the line that they take. Why, in Mark 16, 9 to 20, those last 12 verses, and John 7, 15 to 8, 11, those other 12, 24 verses, that's one page in itself. 8,000 differences. So anyway, you got a lot of difference, I guess. No.
Well, if their differences are only on one page, how come we need so many new versions?
That's a good question. Yeah. Good rhetorical question. Anyway, but these people were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And then as notice this next verse, 48, the hypocalvinists, they use this many times, many are ordained to eternal life. Really, that word ordained, though, means those that trust it, those that accept it, those that receive God everlasting life. Ordained, that ordained sounds like it's almost like ordination or predestination or the other thing, but it's a different meaning that means those that accepted it really did the job. My exact definition of that I got somewhere else, but it's not a verse that it speaks to the justification of hyper-Calvinism. Those that were ordained, those that accepted and received and trusted and believed God everlasting life. Those that received Christ and accepted, that's what that word means. If you study that in the Greek text, it means those that accepted and received God or eternal life, they believe. They believe. They're part of the faith of Christ. All right, did we read 49 or we stopped at 48?
We did 49,
okay. Then what was true of the word of the Lord here?
Published.
Meaning what?
It was declared.
Declared and made clear. How far did it go?
All the regions.
So it's wonderful. The word of God goes to all regions. The word of God we ought to have to all the different nations of the world. But we got a note from the David Tsai. This is the way he wrote a birthday note to him, and he replied in an email today, and he thanked her for the good birthday note. But also he said that his edition of the Chinese Bible, and on the third time going through it, he's in 2 Corinthians. He hopes to finish it fairly soon, the third time. So now when you finish this third installment, third draft, can we publish maybe 2025 to give the other Chinese to look it over before you publish it? Oh, I'm hoping that they will do it. I've been trying after the first draft. No. Second draft? No. I hope the third draft, that's it, we can at least get a rough copy to send to others, And I said, the Dean Burgon Society will do that. We'll publish that 20, 25 copies, a small number of copies. That's the purpose for Dean Burgon Society.
The New Testament?
Pardon me?
The New Testament?
The New Testament, yeah. Just the New Testament, yeah. Just like we did for the French. Remember?
They have the whole New Testament.
Pardon me?
They've got the whole New Testament.
Yeah, they've got the whole first draft, second draft, now they're in the third draft, going through 2 Corinthians, a few more books, and finish the New Testament. So please pray for them, for the David Tsai and David Kota. They're in China, and they're going to stay there apparently. So,
David Kota's the wife.
Yeah, David and Kota Tsai, yeah, both of them. Yeah, David and Kota, yeah. So Kota's the wife, and the two of them are there. So pray for them throughout all the region. How does read verse 50, 51, and 52 together? But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women, and the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coasts. And they shook the dust off the liturgy against them, and came into Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Find in verse number 50, what was true of the Jews that did not believe?
They were stirring up the trouble.
What does it mean to stir up?
Exciting trouble.
The idea of a wash machine, some top loading wash machines, they have what's called the agitator.
Yeah.
The idea of agitating,
moving,
stirring up, agitating.
Stirring up, that's right. Who would they stir up? There's several different groups here. What's the first group?
Move hairs.
Devout and honorable women. What does it mean to be devout?
God-fearing
and religious, it's all different things. Maybe the wrong religion, but they're devout. Honorable, what does that mean?
They have honor. Respect.
They're respectful people.
They have respect.
And other people. Other people respect them. And they're women. That's the first group. So there's some women that followed these Jews that were stirred up. What's the next
chief
group?
Man of the city.
The chief man. What would the chief man of the city be?
Like the mayor.
We heard a mayor in Baltimore just recently. What did she say about the police and about the riots in Baltimore? What'd she say to the police?
She said to hold back.
Hold back and don't attack. Let the rioters do what they want. What did they say about the uniform they were to wear? The police of Baltimore.
Just wear your regular uniform.
Did she say to get the shields? Did she say cut the hats?
Don't have the shields. Nothing.
As a result, what did these rioters do against the police?
Threw rocks
and stones and bricks and heavy things and broke bones, and one priest's ankle, the kneecap was shattered. One man is in the hospital still. It didn't have any shield, no protection. That was her. Mm-hmm. Because let them have a chance to loot. And then she said, it's only buildings anyway. It's awful. It's horrible. It's vicious.
They were siding with the people.
Siding, that's right, with the rioters.
There was someone that was commenting about that and saying that those kids, they destroyed, or those people, they destroyed, you know, these places where they might have been able to have a job this summer.
Exactly.
So now they don't have
it. That's exactly right. No. I think there was something, like they said, maybe 30 or so buildings burned, about 150 cars just burned up and destroyed.
CBS.
And that mayor just let it go. Chief woman and chief man say, let's see what they got to say here. Hey, Rob, right, go ahead. Rob Winograd, Chicago.
That's what I just wanted to say hi to everyone, and I appreciated that duet for the French horn and piano duet.
Yes, that was a good duet.
Beautiful. Thank you very much.
Amen. And,
the agitator reminded me a couple of things of what's going on today.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember also once I was witnessing to a Russian man, and after about 20 minutes of witnessing to him, he turned to me and said, "You are a religious agitator."
Religious agitator.
I'm a religious agitator, yes. And we have political agitation going on all over the country now.
Yes.
And they are against, they call us religious agitators, so it's become very perilous, very serious.
Very serious. All right, well, thanks very much, Robert. Wave to Rob from Chicago, way over Chicago. Good to see you. Thank you for calling. So, the chief people, like this mayor, this city mayor, and then when people try to ask her questions, one of the people tried to ask her question, and Reverend, what's his name? The colored pastor said, just shoot him away. What are you going to ask the question? They're going to have a press conference? He didn't want to have a press conference. Wouldn't even ask any questions.
Al Sharp did.
Al Sharp, yeah, that's right. He just knocked that man who was trying to interview, just pushed him away and knocked him away. So did the bodyguards, the mayor.
He asked him to come in the beginning, I heard.
She asked him to come, yes.
Somebody helped us, Al Sharp, and then he came and the people wanted to know why he got there.
Yeah, Bill?
Al Sharpton, he's been on television many, many, many times over the years.
Yes.
And he's called a reverend, yet I've never heard him refer to Jesus Christ. Mm. Never. Mm. Everything that he talks about is strictly political. There's nothing of faith in anything that he has to say. And it was the same way with Jesse Jackson.
Yes. Is he good at stirring up people?
He's a racist.
He's a racist. He's a good agitator. He's a good agitator.
Race Bader.
Race Bader, too. But, so they stirred up not only the honorable, but the chief men of the city, chief people. And what else did they do in verse 50?
Persecution.
Raise persecution against whom?
Barnabas.
There's two people. Here's a big multitude. They should have been glad that they came to the synagogue to hear the word of God about salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. But they persecuted Paul and Barnabas. What else did they do to Paul and Barnabas?
Kicked them out.
Kicked them, expelled them out of the court. Don't even come here. Get away. Can't even talk. That's real religious liberty, isn't it?
It's going on right now.
In
the military.
In the military. Kicking out the Christians. Obama doesn't want any Christians in that military, so we can push them and push them and push them.
Where does it say that?
Oh, there's all kinds of articles. I read them on Sunday morning. Four or five articles right in the rack back there. The Christians are being knocked out, kicked out of the military, and that's a sad thing indeed. And chaplains can't even preach and pray in the name of Jesus Christ. That's another article. It's right there in the book rack. It's a terrible. Obama wants maybe Muslims there and pro-Muslims and homosexuals and everything else, but not Christians. He knows Christians will stand up against these homosexual queers. They're in the military. They used to be out of there. When I was a Navy chaplain 5 years in active duty, you're a homosexual, get out. They kicked them right out of the military. Whether they're lesbians or whether they're male homosexuals, but it's sad. They expelled them out of the coast. And what did they do in verse 51?
They shook the dust of their feet.
What does that imply?
The curse,
and first of all, they don't care anything about them. They just check the dust.
They didn't want to even be associated with the city. The dust that was on their feet.
That's
they
right.
To get it off of them.
Where'd they go then?
Iconium.
And what was their attitude when they left the city?
Filled with joy.
Not sadness, not gloom, filled with joy, and with
the Holy Ghost.
The Holy Spirit of God, and filling them and dwelling them, love, joy, peace, Gethsemane.
It says the disciples, so does that mean some of the people that believed at this time followed them?
It could be. It could refer to Paul. That could be the disciples. Yes, it could be. Absolutely. Not just Paul and Barnabas, but it could be those that were followers of the Lord Jesus that accepted him as Savior and followed him as well. Absolutely. Any other comments or questions? We finished with chapter 13, or willing, we'll take 14 starting next Thursday. Any other comments or questions you might have? All right, Brother Dave, would you stand close and work for it? Good, please, sir.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the true Word of God.
Yes.
We thank Thee that we have it, that we believe it.
Yes.
And help us to be bold in our witness for the Lord and not to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the...